The book of Judges, chapter 16, Judges 16. Now I'm going to read the first 12 verses tonight. You can just follow along with me there in your Bibles. Judges 16, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in, and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, In the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon on his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Zorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and said unto her, Entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, If they bind me with 7 green withes, that were never dry, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withes, which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withes as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire, so his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, Behold, thou hast mocked me, and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If they bind me with fasts with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes, bound him therewith, and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread." I'm going to stop there. We're going to read a few more verses in this chapter, so you can keep your Bibles open there this evening. But I want to point out a little bit about the story and then give you the thought tonight and the message, the title of the message. But I want to pray before we go any further. Let's ask God's help. Father, I pray now that you would strengthen me to preach your word. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would give me power, empower me. I pray there would be an endowment of power from on high that I may preach your word with clarity, with boldness, with precision. I pray that we would see tonight this truth. And Lord, that we would not compromise the truth, that we would stand on the truth. And I pray that we would learn from your word tonight. We would learn how to be spirit-filled. We would learn how to be different. Help us, Lord, tonight, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. What a man, Samson. He's a biblical superhero, if you will. He was a man that was unique. He was a man that had God-given strength, supernatural strength. I love the story of Samson. Samson certainly was not without his faults. He was self-willed. He was full of pride, self-reliant. He lacked separation, and he had desires of his flesh that he could not control. But for all his faults, I like him. He's a man in the Word of God that just grasps my attention. He's a Superman, if you will. Not a fake one, but this is a real, true life man that had superhuman strength, if you will, given to him by Almighty God. Samson recognized early in life that he was different. And then he realized what was different about him. He was under a Nazarite vow. That's found in Numbers chapter 6. It was a specific vow that could be given for any length of time, really. But for Samson, it was a lifelong vow that his mother had promised the Lord that she would raise him up that way. And so this Nazarite vow was something that was a promise to the Lord. And as a result of that, there were certain responsibilities. One, that you weren't allowed to drink of the vine. You weren't allowed to have any type, not just alcoholic beverages, but just regular grape juice, we would call it. You were to stay away from the fruit of the vine. Another aspect of this, the most noticeable one of a Nazirite, is that they were not to cut their hair. They were let their hair grow, and that was a sign or a symbol or a dedication that they were under this vow. And Samson realized that he was different, and he realized what it was about him that made him different. It was his unique relationship with God. And we see he tried to protect that which made him special. Samson was married to a woman by the name of Delilah. Delilah was a woman that loved money. And so she was enticed by it. She was tempted by having a lot of money. And so the Philistines made a deal with her. Hey, if you will find out where the strength of your husband lies, if you'll tell us how we can have victory over him, if you'll give us the clue to his superhuman strength, we will give you 1,100 pieces of silver, every single one of us. And so she would become a very, very rich lady, according to end of verse number 5, tells us 1,100 pieces of silver. So Delilah went to her husband Samson and said, "Would you please, honey, tell me, how are you so strong? What is it about you that gives you this strength?" And Samson says, "So well, I really can't say give that up, but here's what you do. If you take some green with 7 of them and that were never dried, and you bind me up with those, then I will be weak." And he says in verse number 7, "I will be as another man." In other words, he would be normal. He would be an average man. But he wasn't an average man. He was a man who had supernatural, God-given strength. But he says in verse number 7 at the end of it, "If you tie me up with 7 green withes that were never dried, I shall be weak and be as another man. I will be a weak man. I will not be what I am now." And so, of course, you know, that is done, and he's bound. She binds, Delilah binds Samson, and then she cries out and said, "The Philistines are upon thee, Samson." And what does he do? He just breaks those withes like they're nothing, like they're a piece of thread. And she then accuses Samson of lying. "Why are you lying to me? Why are you not telling me the truth? Why are you mocking me?" And she says, "Please tell me again, where is thy great strength come from? And what could be done to you to take that strength away from you?" And then again, he says, "Okay, well, why don't you get some new ropes and bind me with them? New ropes that have never been used, are brand new. They're still got the strength. Tie me up with those new ropes, and then I will be, according to verse number 11 now, look at the end of verse number 11, and be as another man." Twice we see that phrase. He says, "If you bind me with those 7 green withes, I will be weak and I'll be as another man." Then with the ropes, he says, "If you bind me or tie me up with those new ropes that have never been used, I'll be weak as another man." I want to preach on that thought tonight. As another man. As another man. Of course, in verse 12, which we read a moment ago, we see that those ropes could not contain Samson's strength. Samson's strength, he broke those off his arms like a thread, according to verse number 12. We'll stop there. I'm going to come back to the story in just a moment. But Samson, deep down inside, he knew not what it was that gave him strength, but who it was that made him not as another man. He says, "Listen, if you bind me with these, I'll become weak as another man." He realized that he had power and he had strength that was not his own. It came from Almighty God. And he ended up, though, giving in to the pressure from his wife. And look in verse number 16. Go back to verse 16. And let's look at what takes place here in verse 16. "And it came to pass when she," Delilah, "pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazirite unto God from my mother's womb. If I shall be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. He ended up giving in to the pressure of his wife nagging him for the answer to his strength. And as a result, he's going to lose his distinctiveness as a Christian. He's going to lose his power because, you know the story, Delilah is going to rock him to sleep one night. And she's going to take a razor and cut off his hair. And Samson is going to become just as another man. We'll read that in just a few minutes. But going back to this thought that Samson was unlike any other man. But he says that if these things took place, that he would become weak and become as another man. Well, it wasn't the ropes. It wasn't the widths that could contain him. Something else had to be done that would involve his connection or his relationship with Almighty God. His vow that he had upon him not to have his hair cut. That was a symbolic picture of the unique and intimate relationship as a Nazarite that he had with God. And it wasn't until that hair was cut that he became weak as another man. As Christians, I want to say tonight that we are not as other men. We have been given a unique relationship with Almighty God. And we have a power that surpasses anything this world has to offer. I'm not talking about the power of muscles. I'm not talking about the power of influence and fame and prosperity. I'm talking about the power of Almighty God that is divine and supernatural. We have that as Christians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says this, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." We are not as natural men. We are born of the Spirit, from life from above. We got a Almighty, divine being living within us who created this world with the Trinity in the beginning. Then he's given us a divine word, the Bible that we hold in our hand. And then as New Testament believers, we're indwelt by that Holy Spirit from above. As Christians, we can understand and know things that the natural man cannot comprehend. I was talking with Dave yesterday, and he was telling me how he was trying to describe to his parents, who are staunch Catholics, about his baptism and what it meant, and they didn't understand it. They didn't understand why he got baptized in a Baptist church when he had already been baptized as a baby, and they couldn't comprehend it. Why? Because the natural man doesn't understand the things of God. You've got to have the Spirit of God living in you to be able to understand spiritual things, and that's true in all of life. People are not going to understand spiritual things until they're born again and they're saved. We as Christians are not as other men. We're different. Different. You are different. I am different. People won't understand why we'll pray in a restaurant before we eat our meal. People won't understand why we carry a Bible with us. Because we're different. And we ought to be different. Different. You ought to be different in your work, in your community, in your associations. You ought to be different. Realize what makes us different. Samson was different, not just because he had long hair. That was just a symbolic picture of an intimate relationship. His relationship with God, not his hair, but his relationship with God is what gave him the power, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. The moment he was born, at the end of chapter, I believe it's 14, could be 13, it says that the Spirit of God moved as at other, end of 13, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtal. So it was the Spirit of God that gave Samson his power. The Holy Spirit makes us different. He makes us not as other men. We're another individual because of the fullness of the Spirit of God upon us. Each Christian has the Holy Spirit today. And Samson tried to protect that relationship. He thought he was going to be able to just, you know, tell his wife, well, you know, you buy me up with these widths and you buy me up with these ropes. And I believe probably he was just hoping that she would eventually just drop it and say, okay, I don't want to know. But no, she was persistent. Daily, she bugged him and nagged him, said, tell me. And eventually he gave in. But he tried to protect that which set him apart. The thing that made Samson different also made him strong. And it is crucial that we remain distinct in that which we believe. As children of God, as people who have been born of the Spirit, we have a supernatural power within us. And if we bind into that, if we tie into that, if we plug into that, if we grow that relationship and surrender to that Spirit of God that lives within us, we can have this great power, this mighty power to do great and abundant things for the Lord. We ought to be different and distinct in our doctrine, in our practice, in our truths, in our views of the Bible, our views of the church, our views of holy living. If I am saved, there should be a distinct difference in me. Think of it. Why would a Christian want to be like an unsaved man? Why would we want to live in corruption? Why would we want to live dependent upon foreign substances? Why would we want to live with values that are low? Why would we want to have a lack of morals, an increase in crime and hate, the decreasing of value of human life, the worship of man, humanism, the fear, the anxiety, and the insecurity? I mean, just think of the state of our world today. Why would any born-again Christian want to be like an unsaved man? We ought to be different. Why would a Christian want to be part of that system, the system of the world? We ought to be different. Samson was different, and what made him different was his strength. Go back to our story here and look with me at verse number 18 now. So after she cuts his hair, he became weak as any other man. Look in verse number 18, Judges 16, verse 18. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Samson didn't even know that the power of God was no longer present in his life. He's captured by the Philistines. They gouge out his eyes and bind him, take him into captivity, because he became as another man, weak, with no power to resist the enemy of God. Tonight I wanted to share this, just get this truth across from this story. What made Samson distinct also made him powerful. And as a Christian, we must remain distinct so our strength is not diminished. A lukewarm, compromising Christian will never do a great work for God, because we've lost our strength then. We no longer have that great fire of a relationship with the Lord. We've become distant from Him. We've become lukewarm. We've got to keep that distinction, because without that distinction, we lose the strength. We're supposed to be like Jesus. We're supposed to act like Jesus. We ought to be distinct as Christians. I mean, it starts with our appearance. We ought to be distinct in our appearance. Just as a soldier or a sailor or a marine is easily picked out because of their uniform, we ought to be distinct in our appearance. We ought to look like a Christian, act like a Christian. We ought to wear the uniform of a Christian and not dress like the world. We ought to be a Christian who not only has the right appearance, but has the right speech. Rather than the slang, cursing, and dirty talk, Christians ought to be different. We ought not tell jokes that are provocative. We ought not tell jokes that have a dirty connotation to it. We ought to be different in our speech. We ought to be different in our appearance. We ought to be different in where we go, the places we go to. There are certain places where a Christian ought not to be, and so we ought to be different. We ought to be different where we go, but we also ought to be different in what we do. Alcohol is still the world's beverage, and we ought to be different as Christians. That ought not be a part of our habits and lifestyle. The music of the world is for the world. That ought not be part of our lifestyles as Christians. The modern day loose living is not for God's people. We ought to be different. Can you imagine a Mercedes putting a Ford emblem on their car? No, we ought to be different. We ought to show ownership by our appearance and by what we talk, how we act, where we go, what we do. And there's got to be a distinct difference. What made Samson different was the Spirit of God upon him. We're not to be like other men. We're to be different. We're to be distinct. We're to be unique. And what made Samson different was that relationship with God. And once his hair was cut, that relationship was broken. That vow was broken, which was a promise between him and God. He lost his strength, but he didn't know it. He said, though, he wist not that the Spirit of the Lord had left him. I don't know about you tonight, but I beg and plead for God's power in my life. Because I know I can't live without it. And tonight, if we're going to be just an average person, if we're just going to be an average Christian, then we will just have the average lifestyle. But I want much more than that. God has promised me more than that. He's promised me an abundant, filled life. And he's promised me that I could have all joy, all peace, all long-suffering, all the fruits of the Spirit. He promised me and you a great life. But that comes with that unique relationship with the Holy Spirit. Quickly, I want you to turn over with me to 1 Samuel chapter number 10. 1 Samuel chapter number 10. And we're going to see here in this chapter, again, the phrase, another man. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, look with me down to verse number 6. Samuel takes a vial, and he's going to anoint the prophets, anoint Saul as the prophet, as was his duty. Verse 6, it says, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned into another man. See that in verse 6? What makes a person turned into another man? It's the Spirit of the Lord that comes upon an individual. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll be turned into another man. You'll go from a disgruntled person to a person full of joy. You'll go to a person who's anxious to a person who's all at peace. You'll go to a person who is impatient to a person who's long-suffering and patient. You'll go to a person who's lacking in faith to a person who is of great faith. You'll go to a person that is harsh to a person who is gentle. And the fullness of the Spirit of God changes an individual. And I want that in my life. I want the Spirit of God to be upon me. I pray and ask God for His strength, His power in my life. I don't want to be just an average Joe. I don't want to be just an average pastor. I don't want to be just an average preacher. I want to be a preacher who has the almighty power of God upon his life and ministry, and who's different and distinct. And I hope and pray that you would get a hold of this tonight, that you ought to be different, you ought to be distinct, and the Spirit of God that lives within you wants to make you unique and different. He wants to fill you. He wants to have control in your life. He wants to endue you with power from on high. But it requires us to be completely surrendered to His will and His way. I don't know if any of you ever watched this show. It was probably back, I'm guessing, maybe the late 70s, early 80s, but that it was a show called The Incredible Hulk. It was a man, I think he was a widow scientist, perhaps Dr. Bannerme, I think was his name, if I remember correctly, and he was had a unique problem that anytime he got angry or overwhelmed, he would go from just an average man to a superhuman green monster, and he would have this superhuman strength. And there was, I believe it was a news person who was trying to track him, trying to find out what the deal with him was. And I don't think it was only on the air for a few years, but that Incredible Hulk that came out of this man when he got angry. He became another man. It ought to be just the opposite from us. It's not when we become angry or become overwhelmed. It's when we go to the prayer closet and beg and plead, God, help me today. God, fill me today. God, anoint me with fresh oil today. God, please change me into another man. My wife deserves another man. My children deserve another man. This church deserves another man. They don't need the fallen nature of Bill Erickson. They need a man who's filled with the Spirit of God and has the touch of God upon him. And I pray for that. I beg God for that. That's the number one thing I pray for, is God's power to make me a different man. Because I don't have all the abilities. I don't have all the intellect. And neither do you. You have to plug in and you have to tie in to this great source of power that God has given you. And you've got to rely upon that to get through your day, to make a difference in your life and in your home. The thing that will make you different is the almighty power of God. Tonight, are you just going to settle for being just another man or just another woman? Perhaps maybe there's something in you that burns tonight that says, I want to be different. I don't want to just be an average Christian. I don't want to just go through the motions. I want to make a difference in this life. I want to make a difference for all eternity. Oh, God, help me. You can be a Christian who has divine power upon your life. The apostles had it. The Bible says that they were endued with power from on high. They couldn't do the things that they did with their own abilities. They had the power of God. As we sung, God has not changed. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's not a respecter of persons. And He's promised that He would give power to them who ask. He says, how much more of the Holy Spirit do you think that I'll give to you? I mean, if I'll give fish to a child and bread to someone who's begging for bread, how much more do you think I'll give my Holy Spirit to those who ask? The power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us is available. We've got to remain distinct. We've got to remain committed and surrendered to that relationship with God, that vow. I hope you've made it in your life. I hope there's been a time in your life where you said, okay, Lord, here's my life. You can have it. I'm consecrating my life to you. Now, it's a little bit different than salvation. Salvation is a moment in time where you realize you're a sinner. You realize you've got to be saved because sinners are in need of salvation. Sinners are under the judgment and punishment of God, according to the Bible. You need to be forgiven of that sin. And the only way to be forgiven of that sin is to invite the Savior into your heart and your life. That's salvation. That's a one-time thing when you realize that you're in a whole heap of trouble and that you need a Savior. You need forgiveness. And when you pray and ask the Lord to save you, He saves you. That's one thing. But I'm not talking about that tonight. I'm talking about a time in your life where you said, okay, Lord, because you have saved me, now you can have my life. I'm consecrating it to you. I'm giving it to you. I'm surrendering it to you. If you've never done that, I want to encourage you to do that tonight. If you have, then I want you to remember that promise and that commitment you made to the Lord and protect it. Build that relationship with God. And don't be just as any other Christian. Be a Christian who has the power of God and who is different. Tonight, you can be another man. You can be another woman if you would seek the Holy Spirit's blessing and power upon your life. Oh, would you pray for that tonight during our time of invitation? Would you ask God to fill you? Fill you so you can be the wife or husband that you should be. Fill you that you could be the parent or the child that you should be. Fill you so that you could be the neighbor, the co-worker, the Christian that you should be. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Lord, without the Holy Spirit, we are as weak as can be. Without the Holy Spirit, we are as men in their best state, vanity. But Father, because of the precious Holy Spirit who lives within us, there's a mighty power that can work in us and through us. Lord, tonight I pray that you would speak to someone's heart tonight. Lord, I pray that you would prick a heart, help them not to be content with where they're at in their Christian life, but to have a closer walk with you, to have an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit of God who indwells them, listening to His voice, following His direction. Lord, this is what we need if we're going to be another man. So I pray, Lord, that you would do a work. Help us to be fervent in our pursuit for the power of God in our life. We ask your blessing now upon our song of invitation, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.